Blog Talk Radio.
Everything is going to be all right. We eating and we just ate. Word. So let's get it popping. Urban Therapy with Sun 752. And this is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. We do this every single weekend from 11 a.m. till around 12:30-ish. And the reason that we say 12:30-ish is because sometimes it gets so heated that we just have to do a little OT on a Saturday. And it is Saturday, baby. And it's looking kind of all right. A little bit overcast. But for the most part, the sun is shining. Y'all can see. Y'all can see my window over there. You see the light coming through that thing. And it's not just because we're in the daytime, because when we do it at night, or should I say in the evening, we're doing it in the daytime too. But right now we're doing it in the dark, doing it in the park, doing it in the dark. Oh, yeah, Rock Creek Park. Oh, yeah, Rock Creek Park. Okay, so I'm your host, Sun 752, a.k.a. Omar with the And if you can't say Omar with the R, well, then you just say Omar with the R. It is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. This is a show where adults come out and play with other adults. We laugh, we cry, we argue, fuss, and fight, go back and forth with each other, bust it up all crazy. We push each other on the swings and up the sliding board. We play on the merry-go-round and in the sandbox, monkey bars. We take an introspective look into our own personality and try to understand how the universe projects us into this thing called life. When we try to figure it out, so we're going to help each other. We'll have some fun now. Just me and all the gang. learning from each other while we do our thing. All right. So I'm glad to be here. I'm proud to be here. And I hope that y'all feel the same way. We're going to do this. Make sure that y'all hit that like button. Please smash the like button. Hit the like button. Smash the, hit the, yo, hit the, don't hesitate and don't wait. And also share the show and subscribe to the channel right here so you know when we are coming through, so be down with the crew. I would do it for you. You know that I would, true. Okay, so how you're supposed to feel when your ex passes. How you are supposed to feel when your ex passes. Well, if any of you have ever had something like this happen to you, holler at me. Y'all can dial in, y'all can call, you know, or you can keep it funky in the chat, however you want to do it. But if you want to call in, I would appreciate it. And the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. Once again, the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. It is the Daily Go Get a Mism Show. All you have to do is press number one when you call in, and that will let me know that you would like to speak, and then I will call you out by the last four digits of your telephone number. You can rock on and do the damn thing. The Urban Therapy with Sun Show. So we're talking about how you're supposed to feel when your ex passes. See, what a lot of people may not understand about when you lose somebody in your life that you cared about, that you love, and that you may still love, and that you may still care about. I understand that in the process of being able to move on with your life, that people that you have gone with, that you have been involved with, that you have been in love with, it may be necessary for you to let go a lot of the memories that you had for them, because it may be harder to move on with your life with somebody else in a better situation if you hold on to the memories and the times that you had with someone else. But there's always going to be a part of you that's going to hold on to that anyway. There just is another part of you that may feel like it isn't necessary for you to express that, and that is totally understandable. What else is totally understandable is that you are going to feel the way that you feel. And I want you to know, and I want anybody who has ever been through this kind of thing to know that it's okay. It's okay for you to feel the way that you feel about someone who has transitioned, someone that has moved on, someone that has been killed, someone that has been murdered, someone who has died. It's okay. You know, and because my dad passed on Sunday, and you know, y'all know how I feel about my dad. For any new listeners, you know, my dad passed on last Sunday, and you know, and I miss him, and I love him, and I really, 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 really wish he was here. And one thing about when you're trying to get, you know, you're trying to do funeral arrangements, you're trying to deal with the way that you feel, and you're trying to deal with the way that other people feel, and you're trying to deal with the way that other people feel about the way that you feel. People want to help you. If you have been a helpful person, or if you have been an important person in other people's lives, they want to see you doing well. And they may not understand that there's nothing that they can do in the immediate sense to make you well right now. There's just nothing that anybody can do. And that's not a slight to anybody's efforts, because people have really, really tried hard in order to be accommodating to me. And I want everybody to know that I feel you on that, and that I appreciate you so much, each and every last one of y'all, from those who have tried to do the most to the ones who have just, you know, put a kind word out there. But this is bigger than me, and this whole situation is bigger than anyone else. It is important for people to know that the grieving process is different for different people. We all have to go through it. There's going to be a time in all of our lives when somebody is going to die and leave us here. And there's going to be a time when we die and leave other people here, and they're going to feel some kind of way about it. But because I'm dealing with it in the immediate sense, I think that it's time to have a conversation about it, because it's going to help me. It is very personal for me, but it's bigger than me, and I get it. So when we talk about a situation like what's going on with my dad had a lot of kids, 13 on record, 13 biological on record. Now, that's nothing to say about the other children that aren't biological. but that he had a connection to, that he touched, and that he may have fostered it, or, you know, or had a deep impact on their lives. I'm not discounting anybody, and I'm not putting myself ahead of anybody, but then you got to deal with their mothers. My mom had 3 children by my dad. And no, they weren't the first 3. I have an older brother that's my oldest brother was before my mom. So it was my oldest brother, then 3 by my mom. My mom and my dad were married for about 20, 21 years. Some shit like that. So there's history, this crazy, crazy history here that we have to take into consideration. It's not something that we can just sweep under the rug. So and what I mean by that is besides my mom, there are other moms that he wasn't married to. My dad has been married 3 times, and he died married to a woman. So what do we have here? What are we doing? How are those women that he wasn't dealing with anymore supposed to feel? Sure, I can take the position that I don't really care how they feel. All I care about is me and mine. Well, they are mine in different ways, whether I choose to accept it or whether I like it or not. Everybody matters. Everybody matters, and everybody is going to lay claim in some type of way. I may not appreciate it personally that I have to share my grief and my mourning with other people, but I do, and I don't lay ownership to any one person except for myself. And sometimes I question that, and you may question that on your side too. So pardon me if I'm taking a long way to get into this, but what I'm trying to say is, how are those exes supposed to feel? How is my mom supposed to feel? How are you supposed to feel if this has happened to you in this situation? I'm sure that plenty of my listeners have been married, and some of you have lost a spouse while you were married or after you were married. Well, how did you handle it? How were you supposed to feel? What's your grieving process about? Did you feel guilty about grieving? Particularly if it wasn't a favorable relationship, particularly if it wasn't a relationship that was filled with harmony. Nah, it wasn't no flowers and roses. It wasn't, this was not the best situation, but it was a situation that you were in. Well, how are you supposed to feel? Well, we could talk about it right now, and we will. Let's talk about it. 319-527-6199, y'all. Press number 1, and that will let me know that you would like to speak. And I will call you out by the last 4 digits of your telephone number. If you do not want to identify yourself, this is the show for you. You don't have to ever say your name here. However, if you choose to reveal who you are, I have no problem with that, neither does anybody else. The choice is yours. Sometimes we deal with sensitive information. Sometimes we deal with personal information, and it may be in the best interest for some people to remain anonymous. So I never ask anybody's name, but if you want to say your name the same way that I say mine, the choice is yours. You are 100% at liberty to do so. Sucre chez toi, what's going on, ma? It's good to see me, some you. Thanks for coming on through. You know how we do. Emily Dunlap, too. What up, Emily? All right. So we have a couple callers on the line already. So I'm going to take the callers in the order that they requested to speak. So I'm going to take caller with the last numbers 1132 first, and then I'm going to take caller with the last numbers 2968. So caller with the last numbers, 1132, welcome to the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Thank you for holding. What is on your mind this afternoon? What's good?
Hi, Omar. This is Yvette.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine.
That's good. Let me turn you up here.
I have not been married, but if my ex had passed because of something else or a sickness or something, I probably would not be right. because life is not fair. Life didn't throw me a deck of cards. I probably would be messed up. I've been knowing him since high school. We kind of like dated after high school, so I would be tore up. And he's going on with his life, and I'm going on with my life. And I would really be guilty, feeling guilty, because I like somebody else now, but I would still be messed up if something had happened to him in a, you know, sickly kind of way. And when I say my name is Yvette, you know it's Stacy.
Right. I kind of figured that. Thanks for making it clear. You know, I kind of thought so.
Yeah.
Wait, how you pronounce your name?
Yvette.
Yvette. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, it's Yvette. It's not Yvette. It's Yvette.
Okay.
So I would be messed up in the mind. Then I would be messed up because I'm liking somebody else now, you know. And the cards that I got played wasn't right. And then I'm dealing with two deaths when it comes to my parents. My mother been gone for 5 years, and my dad just died. And I'm finding out that I've been known I have siblings. They don't want anything to do with me, and I don't want nothing to do with them.
Okay.
So I'm going through right now. So, but I'm staying focused. My faith is in the Lord, and my faith is in my closest friends and my family that do want have some. I got a beautiful family, you know, on my mother's side. So, and I got some friends too that I hold on dearly and close to. But my last relationship was tight, and I would be so hurt because life wasn't fair because a lot of people came between me and him, you know.
Mhm.
So, yeah, I would be messed up.
Okay, let me ask you this. With your dad passing, so you said your dad had other kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do you think, if you know, how do you think that their mother felt about your dad? And I pardon me if I'm getting in your business, you know what I mean? You can check me. But I don't know if your dad was with any of your other siblings, you know, moms at the time. But, you know, whether he was or whether he wasn't. You know, how do you think that they felt, and do you respect the way that they felt about your dad passing?
I know that his wife is hurting because she got in contact with me last week. Me and her is cool. The first wife, I don't know, because the way the kids are responding towards me, it's like they're sticking by their mom. I'm going to stick by my mom. You know, and I told them to stay out of grown folks' business. That's not none of our business, you know. I'm dealing with an older sister that's 60 years old that's trying to act like she's 50, you know. She can't understand my pain. And that, to me, that's selfish. And as far as my his wife, she's real cool. She invites me to everything. She's hurting too, and she understands my situation. But the reason why I won't deal with her is because of my dad's kids. I'm not, you know, I fight, but I'm not a fighter unless I have to. I'm not going to get myself in trouble over no crap, you know. So it's a lot of different things. So maybe God is not blessing me with a lot of stuff because he know I probably can't handle it right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, but it's something, and I'm trying to. I've been happy, and I've been having joy. And the last couple of weeks, my happy been gone, and I don't like that. And I just own up to myself that I haven't been happy because of the situation I'm going through. And the only reason why I got my sister on my page, I know my niece and I know my nephew loves me. Was because of their mother acting like she's 3 years old and not acting like an adult, you know. I can't block her because this is the only, because I'm good at running. I will run from a situation. I will run from a relationship. I will run from when I'm not feeling good or feeling right in the situation. I will disappear from your life, period, if I'm not being treated right. And I said, I can't block them because she claims they all feel like she do. And I don't believe that. I do not believe that. But as far as my situation, I would be hurt. If it was a sickness or whatever, I would be hurt. Because that was the only guy that treated me like a princess and like a lady. And I'm like, I'm not accepting nothing less no more. You know, they got to step their game up. Whoever want to be with me, they got to step their game up because he just messed it up for the rest of them, you know. And I'm like, you know, we're friends, and that's all it is now is friends, you know. I would be hurt if something happened to him.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, so if you were, all right, let's say you were involved with somebody else and it was a good situation. You know, you getting your life back on track, you and him are building something together and it's going well for the both of you. If your ex passed, who you still have love for, who you still care for but are not with, how would you feel or how would you deal with it if your man didn't want you to be sad or upset about your ex passing? You know, now, like, how would you handle that? How would you feel, how would you handle it if your current situation, your current man was jealous that you were crying or that you were upset or that you even wanted to go to the funeral of your ex who had passed?
First
even
of all,
though, okay.
Yeah, I know. I love, first of all, whoever I'm with, I love him more than my ex. I'm in love with him because I moved on, and he basically saved me from that situation. So he would not have to worry about that at all. It is what it is, period.
But I'm saying,
it is.
All right.
It is.
Well, let me make sure you understand what I'm asking you. You know, some men are jealous or possessive to the point where they want to make sure that there's no interference from any outside influence, past or present, you know, in your life. And even though you and your ex may not have been together for years, y'all may have been broken up for years, but it doesn't mean that y'all were enemies. It doesn't mean that y'all weren't friends. And it doesn't even mean that y'all weren't still close, you know, or even help each other out from time to time. But your new man or your current man may not understand that, or he may not respect that situation. He may look at that situation
he will respect that because I know he loves and cares for me, and whatever I say, it is what it is. And I know my current situation, he trusts me like I trust him because he has a lot of situations that's going on with him, and I don't throw it up at him at all. I trust him.
But I'm saying, what if the situation was different? I'm asking you hypothetically, how would you handle that?
I would give it to the Lord and pray. I would pray about it and ask the Lord to show me what to say because that's the only thing I can do.
All right, I understand that. I want you to hold on for a second. I'm not going to take you off the line. I just want to take the other caller who called in. So hold on. Stand by. Caller with the last numbers. 2968. Welcome to the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Thank you for holding. What's on your mind this morning?
Oh, you know, just a little bit of this and a little bit of that. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing better than most, worse than a few. And I've been listening to what you've been saying and the lady been saying and everything. And I just, you know, I just sit here and I just have a cornucopia of experiences in my life, where I've had many, 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 I mean so many assaults placed upon the existence of the love inside of my heart. And what a story to tell, you know? How important is it to be able to experience these kind of things? And to have an experience where that happens, a lot of times people are saying something or doing something that comes against the truth that's in your heart. And every time there's an attack against the truth, it's a constant reminder to me, because of the indwelling spirit who's indwelling me, has set me free, meaning that it's not just me now. It means that Christ sits down on the seat of who I am, and it's not me, it's him, because of that love, you know what I mean? We love everybody, and everybody falls in love with us.
Hold on,
and
hold on. Not to cut you off, but I'm going to, you got to cut to the chase today. Have you ever lost? Have you ever lost an ex? Has anybody that you've ever been married to or been involved with ever been? Have they ever died?
I don't think so. I mean, not in that context like that. But
yeah, you would kind of know. You would kind of know. Okay. So this is what I need you to answer for me. If the same question that I just asked the caller before you, if your ex died, someone that you were involved with for however long, whether it was months, years, regardless, the impact that they had on you was pretty strong. If they died and you were involved with another woman, whether y'all were married, engaged, or going together, whatever, how do you think that you would feel in that situation?
Of course, it'd be a situation where you would feel that, you know, a sense of loss. That person's no longer in their physical body no more. But when you look back at that person, the time you spent with that person, you don't look at the garbage. You look at the time that you spent with them and they spent with you, that union. Whatever happened between the two of you, hey, you know, I was talking about that earlier, but you didn't really catch it.
Now, I'd like today I need you to be direct. We can't play around today. That's why I'm asking you directly. So I'm going to need you to be.
Ain't nobody playing around.
Exactly. But I just need you to be more direct, because we have other callers on the line, and you know. So I'm going to need you to kind of run through it. So if you've never lost an ex, and if you've never you know, if nobody that you've ever dealt with romantically and seriously has ever died, this may not be the situation that you could speak on, unless you are close to a situation. Like let's say maybe you're experiencing what I'm experiencing. Like,
I've been through a lot, my friend. You know, I mean,
okay.
I spent 17 years incarcerated, which is no claim of fame there, but I can tell you this much. I've been up close and personal with death, and I've seen it, and I've been there, and homeboys have died and this and that, you know, mm-hmm. So I got, like I said, I bring something to the table, but obviously this platform is not going to be cutting it today. No worries. But thank you though, for letting me speak. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. All right. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. We're going to go to the next caller. Caller with the last numbers. And by the way, I want to thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. I do. So if it sounded like I didn't, please don't get me wrong. It's just that there's a lot going on today, so we want to make sure that we are keeping in step with what we are doing. My big sis, Medita Coleman. What's going on, Ma? It's good to see me. I said, I said, it's good to see me some Y-O-U. You know that is T-R-U with the N after that, too. And my man Jeff Hawkins, what's going on, my brother? Thanks for calling. Thanks for coming on through, y'all. Appreciate it. Mucho. And Rita Reds is in the house. What's up, Rita? Good to see me some you. And Sincerely T. What's up, Sincerely T? And Wembley Yolanda. My girl, Yolanda Wembley. What's going on, y'all? So tonight, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm so used to doing the shows on the weekdays, and we haven't done this show in a little while, a couple of weeks. Today, we're talking about how you're supposed to feel when your ex dies. So we're talking about, like, if you've ever gone with somebody, been married to somebody, been engaged with somebody, was involved with somebody, had children by somebody, and they died. How are you supposed to feel? And, you know, because many people will tell you that you're only supposed to feel this way or that way, or that you're not, it's not right for you to feel this way or the third. But everybody grieves differently, and everybody mourns differently. And I'm just here to give people a chance to kind of feel what me and my family are going through right now in real time. My dad passed last Sunday. I miss him like crazy, and I'm not the only one who misses him. But he was important in a lot of people's lives, and he had a lot of children. So a lot of children, a lot of baby moms, a lot of three wives. And so, you know, I thought that it would be a good idea to put it out there and see how people have handled this before and how they're handling it now, and how you think you would handle it if it ever happened to you in the future, because this is a situation that many people may have to face one day. So let's get into it. So we have callers on the line. I want to thank everybody for calling in. I want to thank everybody for participating at this particular time. I see that Rita Red said, it would depends on which ex. Of course it would depend on each ex. But, you know, I'll say this. You know, Biz Markie died yesterday. And I didn't know Biz. I met him once. You know what I mean? But I got love for Biz. You know, his music touched me. He seemed like a funny guy. I knew he was a good guy. The one time I met him, yeah, he had an impact on me. I'm like, yo, this is a nice guy. He's pretty cool. So, you know, if I can feel that way about somebody I didn't know, and I felt that way about celebrities that I never came in contact with, never knew or anything like that, I think that the significant time that I spent with somebody that I did really get to know intimately, I know I'm going to feel some kind of way about it. So I don't think that I'm exclusive in feeling that way. But listen, let's keep it going. All right, we have other callers on the line. So I'm going to take caller with the last number 7019, and then I'm going to take caller with the last number 8658. So caller with the last numbers 7019. Welcome to the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Thank you for holding. And what's going on? How you feeling this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. You know what I'm saying? I'm good. Thank you for asking. Appreciate that.
I'm all right. I'm good.
Oh, you gotta turn down something in your background.
I don't have nothing in my background.
Okay, wait. Somebody has us on speaker. So let me go through. Somebody got to mute. I think I know who. All right. Now it should be okay. Okay, I don't hear nothing. There we go. Sorry, I didn't mean to blame you. All right. So let's start all over. Hey, how you doing? Welcome to the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Thank you for holding. What's on your mind this morning? This afternoon, sorry. What's good?
Basically, I was just calling to add my little 2 cents. But I've actually had several exes that have passed away. Luckily, none of them passed at the time that we were together. But I can say that you do feel a sort of way about their passing, even though, you know, that was someone from your past.
Yeah.
It sort of dredges up old feelings about, you know, and memories that you share with that person, you know, things, you know, good or bad. Sometimes, you know, when you think about the moments that you share with that person and they are no longer here.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that you'll never be able to see them again. You know, so I could imagine how that in and of itself, just experiencing that, you know, would make the person that you're currently with feel in that situation. I've had to deal with that. So... You know, it is kind of a touchy situation.
Yeah. Now, okay. Of course, whoever you're dealing with currently, you want to respect them, especially if they have been respecting you. But
absolutely.
I'm not even sure if we're talking about a situation where respect is compromised or should be questioned in a situation where we're talking about the loss of life. The loss of human life, in which you feel touched by it or feel affected by it because of the fact that you used to be with that person. You spent time mm-hmm. with them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's hard to argue that that you shouldn't feel any type of way, but there may be some people who expect you to feel a different type of way. It's a tough situation, especially when... You know, I think the best way I can put it is, especially when you are feeling like there are regulations on you grieving or regulations on you mourning, like you have to have permission. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's going
to
make it
harder. Go ahead, yeah.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I did have to deal with a situation where after the passing of an ex, where the person that I was with, I felt like they felt threatened about the situation, which was surprising. But I was just like, how do you feel threatened by a person who's no longer here? Like, I didn't understand it. And for me, you know, I was just like, you know, it's only human to feel. Right? Like, you know,
right.
Just because you're no longer with a person doesn't mean that you stop caring about their well-being or you stop caring about, you know, whether it's their health, whether it's their life, whatever the situation is, it doesn't mean that you stop caring.
Right.
You know? So the fact that if a person knows you well enough to know that, you know, you care about people in general, it shouldn't be all that surprising that, you know, you would have, you know, some feeling towards somebody who you share time and space with.
Check this out, because I was thinking about, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. And you know how we've had shows, now I know that you're new to this show and you've never listened before, but we've had shows before where we've talked about, I'm sorry. Maybe you listened to some back episode. But anyway, we've had episodes where we talked about emotional cheating versus physical cheating. You know, so some people may feel like people like me may feel like in order for me to qualify you cheating, I'm like, you have to actually do something. But other people feel like emotional cheating is even worse because they feel like, you know, you're giving your time, your effort, your heart, and your feelings to somebody else, which in turn would make you gravitate towards them more later on. So do you think that it's possible that the way that the person that you are currently dealing with may have felt or may feel is that when your ex died and you felt sad about it, or you wanted to go to the funeral, or you paid respects to their family, or whatever the case may be, do you think that maybe they felt like the person who is dealing with emotional cheating has felt?
There could be some link to that. And honestly, I can probably understand that. But I would look at it differently only because the person is no longer here, and what could you do with that? Like what happens next? Like there is no next. So, you know, so for me, it's like whether it was emotional cheating or not, it's not like, you know, when you're with somebody, everything that you've loved before them, you know, it just evaporates because it doesn't. So to me, it's just logical thinking that people share their hearts with a number of people. It's not just right. a person who you're involved with, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you've ever loved somebody, you know, they're always going to have a space in your heart. And that's just a fact. You know, even if you separated on bad terms, there's still some part of you that still loves something about that person. It may not, you know, the feelings that you have for them right now may be overpowering that space you have love for. But if in the event something tragic happened to them, you know, that part of your heart is going to come to surface.
Uh-huh.
You could have hated them to death. But, you know, if something happens to someone and you know, feel some type of way about that person at some point in your life, you want to feel something.
Yeah. Now, even though that person is no longer here for them to be a threat, do you think that maybe your current partner do you think that is valid for them to feel that, okay, even though they're not there, they took with them when they died some of the emotional attention that they may require? You understand what I mean? Like, well, if she's mourning and grieving over him, that's kind of taken away from, you know, my time, my efforts, you know, a quality time that me and her should be spending together. And even though it may sound selfish on their part to think that way, they may be feeling that way and even more so, like they might feel like what the efforts that I have put forth in order to rescue her from her past situation. You know what I'm saying? If that was the situation, mm-hmm. like the time that I've spent, the things that I've done, the money that I've spent, the way that I've been there, the support that I've lended, like I've done everything right. And for somebody who didn't do as much, for the loser, for lack of a better term, for the loser to take with them some of the spoils, you know, that they didn't earn or deserve, it's just not right. And yeah, they're acting, your current man may be acting jealous. He may be acting possessive. He may be acting selfish. He may be acting immature. And he may be acting with lack of understanding. But is the way that he feels all the way wrong? Is it all the way invalid? Should it be taken into consideration? No.
Well, for me personally, I could never invalidate someone's feelings because clearly, you know, they feel the way they feel and, you know, that is what it is. So I would never invalidate someone's feelings. But, you know, for me, the fact that I am with the person that I'm with says that, you know, my heart is where it is, you know, it's not a battle of who won or who lost, you know. So for me, it's like all of those things may be true. It may be true that, you know, that person that is no longer here shared a space in my heart. It may be true that you feel a type of way about it. It may also be true that none of it matters in this moment. So although mm-hmm. all of those things may be true and they exist in the same space, it doesn't change how you could operate in the here and now and going forward. Now, if the person felt that strongly about how I'm grieving for another person, then assist me in that process, and then that could only mean that my feelings for you would be stronger.
That's just
the way I see it.
Yeah, that's the way you feel, and you probably are on the right track of feeling that way, but your current man may not be able to grasp that concept. He may not be able to get it.
And you're right, but it also may be something that I can't fix. So, you know, sometimes there's always going to be situations where, you know, it's unfixable between the two people. Like, that person may need some clarity from another direction that's not coming from me, you know, because sometimes people don't have a good understanding of something unless they've experienced it themselves.
Uh-huh.
So if that's a person who's never experienced that type of situation, they may need to, you know, speak to someone who could give them some advice outside of mine, because my advice would be personal. And,
right.
You know, so it's hard, you know, to get someone to see things your way when you're experiencing it personally and they're not. They're looking at it from a selfish perspective.
That's true. And, you know, one of the hardest things about the whole grieving process is that it's sometimes bigger than you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you're the type of person who cares about how other people feel. I'm not talking about caring about what other people think, because sometimes we get too wrapped up into caring about what other people think about us personally. But when you are an empathetic person and you can understand why people feel the way they feel and why they do the things they do and why they may operate the way that they operate. And like, even if that's not your MO, you may be able to feel them a little bit. So what if you really wanted to cry around your current man, but you knew that your current man will feel some kind of way about you crying about your ex? And you might even feel like, I don't know, this is pushing the envelope. This might be pushing the envelope a little too far, but this is the way I feel. I'm sad. I'm sad for him. I'm sad for his children. I'm sad for his parents if they survived by him. I'm sad for his friends and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, would you just go ahead and shed your tears? Like, man, fuck it. Or would you, you know, find a private area and handle your emotions that way?
That would definitely be something I would share. And in the hope that if a person that I'm with cares about me enough, then they would care about my emotional health, whether it's directed towards them or it's because of something or someone else. And I would hope that person, whoever I'm with, wouldn't feel threatened by, you know, in that moment. Like, if you care about, you know, if my emotions matter to you, you know, then regardless of what's ailing me or, you know, what's affecting me in that moment, your main concern should be, you know, making sure that I'm good.
Right. Okay. And I agree with that. It's just, things go the way they go. And a part of me feels like everybody's feelings should be respected or taken into consideration on some level. But all of these things can make your grieving and mourning process harder and harder. And it's kind of not fair. You understand what I mean? Like, you might be dealing with this heavy situation, and then other people who are actually trying to be helpful are making it heavier. They're making it harder. They don't mean to,
right?
But they can't help it because, hey, they want you to themselves, and they ain't really they ain't really wrong for wanting you to themselves. It's just like they have to understand that you've been somewhere else before.
Yeah,
you know,
right. And don't get me wrong, I get it. I understand both sides of it. But you know, I can't say it probably wouldn't warrant a conversation, because I would definitely want to understand, you know, why they felt the way they felt. You know, I certainly wouldn't want to dismiss it, because it may be opening up a part of a person that I may not be comfortable with and would have to make a decision about.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely warrants a conversation. And I don't ever want to experience something and not be able to share it with the person that I'm with.
Right.
At least that's the one place I feel like should be a safe space with whoever I'm with.
Yeah.
That I should be able to share.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right. Hold on for a second. We have a couple more callers on the line. Caller with the last number is 8658. I'm going to take you, and then caller with the last number is 4828. All right. So caller with the last number is 8658. Welcome to the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Grand afternoon to you. Thank you for holding. What's on your mind this afternoon? What's good?
Good afternoon.
Howdy.
Howdy. I just want to try to share a little light on this,
mm-hmm.
only because I recently went through this. Like I said when I wrote in the chat, you knew what was going on. But, I mean, it's no big secret. You know, I just did what I had to do. I'm blessed. Because my current husband is understanding enough and has such a great relationship with my children's father, my ex. They had a very respectful relationship. It was good. He passed away. We get the call in the middle of the night, late at night. You know, and my son is screaming on the phone, Mom, you got to get here. And I'm thinking the worst, but not that his dad had died. We drive out, my husband and I both, we drive out to the hospital to be with my son. Okay. There's so many levels to this. When you're mature enough to realize that part of your life is done and the new person in your life is what counts, at least for me it does. You can deal with that, you know. I respect the fact that my current husband, that I've been with for close to 30 years now, you know, he gets that. You know, it doesn't take away from his manhood. It doesn't
right.
make him feel less of a man. It
mm-hmm.
makes him feel as though, because of the relationship that he has with the children involved, that this is more important and it's bigger than just his emotions, his feelings. He's also not threatened at all by the relationship that I still have with my ex. We had children together. You just don't throw them away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just my take on it. You know, there were some issues with finances for the funeral. I said to my husband, look, I got some money. Kids need it. He said, do what you got to do. You know, I mean, it depends on the man is what I'm saying. If in my case, it's a man. In the case of a woman, it depends on who you are, how secure you are and who you are. You know, doing something for being there for somebody who has passed away doesn't negate who you are.
Right.
So, I mean, that's just my take on it. I mean, that's not the time to have all these negative feelings. I think that stuff is childish. You
right.
know, but that's just me. I mean, your time with that person was your time.
Uh-huh.
You know, no longer there. and you've moved on, like the other caller said, you've moved on. So you've moved on, and you let it be what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an ex. But if you're all honest in the situation, then I think you can get past that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no need to, you know, being angry at somebody, you know, that's past or their current spouse. Now, I'll tell you this. I did attend the funeral. My husband attended the funeral. They knew each other. You know, they grown men.
Oh, okay.
You know,
yeah.
His current wife, who he has not been with in years, felt a little kind of way about it, you know, about me being there. But that's always been the thorn in her side. She's always felt that way about me. Again, that's her insecurity, not mine.
Now, let me ask you this. All right.
Yeah.
Before you, let me get it together, because
okay.
you gave me a gut punch. You really did, because originally I was going to ask you how you would have handled it if your husband wasn't as supportive to you as he was. But then when you said that his wife felt some kind of way about you being at the funeral, then I'm like, see, here we go. You understand what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
as much contempt that I might have for that situation, at the same time, as much as I hate to do it, I still have to take the way she feels into consideration. And this is a funeral. It's a send off. It's a homegoing. It's a farewell. It's a last time for people who have the common love and affection and or affection for the deceased one to pay their respects. You know, it's hard for a mature, a rational and mature person to understand how somebody could feel some kind of way about that. But it happened. And in other situations, we may even support that. Like, you know, you may know of situations like I do where some people were not allowed to come to the funeral. Like, no, you ain't do nothing but shit on them the whole time that they was alive, and I'll be goddamn if you're going to bring that negative energy here. I get it. I may relax those things at the time, but you also have to take into consideration some people's motivations for coming to pay their respects. You understand what I mean? So it's a hard situation, you know. So yeah, I may think that she was really immature and off base for feeling some kind of way about you. This was your ex-husband, and y'all have children together. Like, how are you going to not show up at the funeral?
Go see what the girl wants. I had to pull her to the side and say to her, it ain't about us. You know, I already got mine. I'm
right
here to support my children. You know,
yeah.
And that's what I'm going to do. And then she was, you know, she was like, oh, well, I didn't mean it that way. Well, you did, but it's okay. You know, see, I'm a big girl. I'm going to put my big girl panties on, and I'm going to rock with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
and if
yeah.
you feel some kind of way about it, then that's your issue, not mine. Because I don't feel that way. It's not that deep to me. I did what I had to do because my offspring were involved. And I'm never going to let them suffer or
right.
feel as though you know, my mom don't care. That's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, it's so many levels to this.
Mm-hmm.
But if people just be grown about stuff, you know, I didn't have to. I mean, we had some rough times, the ex and I.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's all a part of giving. It's all a part of growing. It's all a part of knowing who you are, you know, and being secure in who you are. So, yeah, I can show up. You know, I can show up, and I'll do my part. But the most important thing is to know your place. I wasn't there to take that woman's place. And that's what she needed to understand.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. In what section of the women's department do they sell the big girl panties? Like, do you have to be, like, you know.
You know what? I go to the store and I ask for them, okay?
Like, you know.
That's what I do. I go and I ask for them. I tell them I need big girl panties.
Okay. So is that...
Now, anything else you want to know?
Yes. Is there a difference between big girl panties and, like, adult panties?
Well, see, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to ask Big Butt Tanya.
So are you saying that big girl panties are normally sold... And plus size stores? Like, do I have to go to Lane Bryant?
They sell them everywhere. No, they sell them everywhere. Stop playing. So you always got to take something somewhere else.
I'm simply asking a question. You made a, statement. I just want to know if you know, like, let's say you're size 10. Do you still fit inside big girl panties? That's all I want to know.
I wear size 10 big girls.
All right. You know, because I've seen some skinny women talking about
it. Why are you being so personal?
No, this is not personal. But, if you're petite, but you getting your big girl panties on, I just want to know, like, So
these girls wear big girl panties, too.
All right.
Okay.
They will.
Okay. You all in the ladies' department. You need to stay in the men's department.
You never know. I might want to buy my girl some big girl panties. Like, I want to make sure I'm in the
she
right department.
You already got them.
Do they sell she big girl panties in lingerie?
Yes.
Big girl panties. Do they have thong big girl panties?
They probably do. Yeah, they probably do. They come in different sizes, colors, and styles. Okay.
But a thong don't cover your ass. So, but is that a big girl panty?
It's a still panty, okay?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, what's wrong with you?
I'm not. I want to understand. This show is all about understanding. I'm just trying to do my best to understand.
And you do understand. I'm trying to help you, my brother. I'm really trying to help you.
There are times when it may just appear that I understand. I'm trying to get a greater understanding. That's what I do. All right. We have another caller on the line. We have another caller on the line. Caller with the last numbers 4828. Welcome to the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Thank you for holding. What's going on? How you feeling this afternoon? What's on your mind?
I'm good, thank you. Good afternoon. This is Tanya. I just wanted to share. I actually lost an ex 3 weeks ago, and although we were not married, it was talked about, and we had a relationship that spanned for more than a decade, almost 2 decades. And I remember, you know, how it's touchy because it's still fresh, but the woman that he was with after me felt some kind of way about me being mentioned in the obituary, and about me being there at all. which, you know, made me feel some kind of way. Because although they shared 8 years together, you know, I was the only person who he chose to impregnate. So, you know, he played a very important part in my emotional and in relationship development. He was very important to me. And we remained friends literally up until, you know, the day that, the time that he passed away. And I think that in cousin, sister, mother, cousin, in their grief, they forget that we're supposed to be enacting a celebration of life. You know, that person who passed away touched more lives than just ours. And so everyone's grieving process needs to be taken into account on both sides or on all sides. And like you got, like everybody before me said, it's not about you. It's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how we all love this person.
Mm-hmm.
Let's come together on how we all love this person. Everything else is bullshit. Because for real, whatever you, like, if you didn't make peace with whoever passed away, I mean, you should have done that. You should have been mature enough to do that before death was even on the table. But I understand that everybody's not mature enough to do that.
Right.
That being said, you know, can't turn back the hands of times, you know, of time. It is what it is. You know, what? How are we going to come together now and celebrate this person's life? Celebrate how this person loved, because we're all showing up for this person. That means that person did something right in life and in love. Let's celebrate that. All that other shit needs to be put to the side. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I'm grateful for my ex's family who, when old girl tried to, you know what I mean, say something, they were like, hold on a damn minute. You know, they were on and off since 14. We're not going to do that. This woman is actually family. She's not just some random ex, you know. And
wait, was that age 14 or 2014?
Age 14.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Mm. You know, and, you know, like one of the other ladies on the call, I have a current love who I was nervous to share the death of my ex with him. You know, because you just never know how people are going to respond to stuff. You just don't know. Especially since this person was very, very important to me. But I did, you know, I took a leap of faith, and, you know, I have faith that this person would be understanding, and they were. So, you know, I'm blessed in that way that I'm with someone who was not just, like, they didn't just understand it, but very, very supportive. Very, very supportive.
So, that's a tough situation. Did you have kids with your ex that passed?
Yes, but they passed. They passed away.
Oh, wow. Wait, the children passed?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's a deep one. Now, and by the way, I'm sorry that happened to you. That's heavy, 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 heavy. Do you think that with people not really wanting you, we're not really wanting exes around to grieve or not wanting you to grieve over your ex or whatever. Do you think that what they are really doing is putting regulations or restrictions on your grieving process? Like, if you, let me ask a better question. If you interrupt the grieving or mourning process, do you think that it ever completes itself the right way? Do you think that it can?
Ask that question again for me. You mean if they don't want you at the funeral?
If you, this is bigger than the funeral or whatever, but let's say it is a situation where they didn't want you at the funeral or they didn't want you coming, you know, coming to the repast, or you know how before the funeral comes up, people meet at houses and stuff like that and bring food and, you know, that all that kind of stuff. You know, funeraling takes a while. You know, leading up to the day. After the day or whatever, family coming in, loved ones coming in, flying in, training in, driving in, stuff like that.
Are you asking me if you are not allowed to attend those gatherings, do I feel like it can interrupt the grieving process?
Yeah, if you're not invited. Or you're discouraged from doing those, from participating in those things, or if you are or if you're just discouraged from expressing how you feel, you know, from being sad, or like I was saying before, from being able to cry, like, you know, instead of you know, crying right there on the couch or whatever, you know, you got to go up to your room, go to the bathroom or whatever, close the door so you can cry over your sadness of losing someone. That's an interruption in the grieving process.
Yeah.
It's interference. You know what I'm saying? I
think they both are. And I'm sorry to cut you off, but I know I've been on a call with you before. You'll keep going, giving me more examples, even though I understand.
I got to cut your mic off. Listen, I have sponsors on this show. I might have to cut your mic up.
Okay, I'm still on. But I do think both of those are examples of an interruption of the grieving process. Some people need to go to those gatherings in order to accept the reality, person passing. But to tell somebody or to put someone in a position where they can't even cry or even talk about it, how dare you? How dare you? It is an absolute interruption in that person's grieving process. You know, whether, and I said funeral because that was my situation. You know, the whole point of the repast, the memorial, funeral, you know, the fish fry in memory of, is to pay respect to that person. So if that person is worthy of respect, then let people pay that respect. Period. That person wasn't your a pocketbook, and it's just yours, and you do with it what you will.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Think outside yourself. I only call it a portion because I've been driving and my phone was going in and out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to the person who's currently with the deceased, that's the last person who the deceased chose to, you know, he chose to love. Not that they haven't loved before, but when things went left, like, there's a lot that is put on, you know, the current person during the process of the deceased actually getting to, you know, that it's heavy. But folks are so selfish. They're so selfish. They only think about how they feel and what they think in that moment. They're not considering the weight of that current person. So, yeah, anyone and everyone involved needs to be considered, at least considered, when someone passes. They really do.
Yeah. It's a tough, tough situation. And in my personal situation right now, there are a lot of little passageways and vessels and catacombs, and there's a lot going on. But there are expectations. There are expectations by some of others to defend, to offend, to, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And all of this stuff is what I consider to be an interruption in the grieving process. And if you keep interrupting the grieving process, how are you going to complete it the right way?
I mean, how is your negativity paying respect to that person that you love so much? How is your thought process paying respect to that person who you love so much?
Do you think that they even look at their behavior or their thought process as being negative?
No. But they're not thinking outside themselves. They're caught up in how they feel about it, and that's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
As if their feelings are the only thing that matters.
Mm-hmm. True.
I'm sorry. I'm very passionate about this. I just.
No. I understand. And by the way, all of the callers, all of your mics are open. So if y'all wanna jump in at any time, y'all can all jump in. This is not I'm just saying, I didn't mute anybody. I just moved on to the next call. It's sensitive. It is. This is delicate. It's sensitive, and it's far reaching, because this, when you talk about, okay, is, for example. And I'm not saying that this is my situation, but if my mom is not able to mourn for my dad because they haven't been married in 30 years or more or whatever, 40 years, you know, how is she supposed to protect her health? How is she supposed to be able to move on? How is she supposed to develop?
You want me to heat it up?
And I feel that way about any other person that my dad may have been involved with. Any of my brothers and sisters. You know, I'm not gonna make anyone.
No, you're not gonna eat them all. All
right, I got
me. You want some, Hunter?
What I just do. Okay. My bad. I'm not gonna try to make any one person more important than anyone else. Because we all may have had our personal relationship with my dad, and it counts. Just because I don't know about it, just because I don't know about it doesn't mean that it doesn't count. You were with him when you were with him, and y'all talked about what y'all talked about, did whatever it is that y'all did, but it resulted in a child.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's something there. I really, 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 really do. So yeah, it's really, really a tough situation. How you are supposed to feel when your ex dies. You know, I mean, to tell a person that they shouldn't care or whatever. Let's take it away from the ex for a minute. Suppose we were talking about a aunt, uncle, or mom or dad that you were estranged from. You know, y'all didn't have a good relationship. It was strained. And y'all wasn't dealing with each other at the time of the death. I mean, should somebody be able to tell you, well, you know, your mom or your dad abused you your whole life. They was never there. They never cared about you, blah, 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 blah. So you still shouldn't care. You know, if you feel like you still care, or that you're still sad, or, you know, or you're lamenting over the inability that y'all had to be able to put it back together, or, you know, resolve issues. Like, how is that a good thing? How is that any more valid than an ex passing on? You know,
right.
people just expect you to say, well, we wasn't together no more, so you know, I'm sad for his kids or whatever, but I don't feel nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I would be more concerned with somebody that was hell bent on turning off their emotions that way, or even played that game. Because I'm thinking like, that don't seem right. Like, where's your heart? Where's your compassion?
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, you probably cried when Tupac died or Whitney Houston or somebody. you understand what I'm saying?
I had a grandparent, an absent grandparent, grandfather pass away. And I remember one of my other grandparents saying, well, why do you feel upset, you know, about him passing away? He didn't do, she actually said, you know, he didn't do shit for you. You know, but buy you a doll when you were whatever age. And I remember, I've always been a pretty candid person. I remember saying, so I still have his DNA. You know, I still remember the look on his face when he bought me that doll. I still remember how proud he was that I was his granddaughter. So, you know, while he was adulting, he was an absent grandfather. That's okay. That's okay. You know, I feel some kind of way because I did not, he and I never resolved the issue that I had, because he had no issue with being absent. He was like, you know, because he and I had a very candid conversation. He was like, well, I was out doing what I had to do, so... This is a conversation we had right before he died, probably about 2 months before he died. And he's like, I was out doing what I had to do. You could have come and you could have called me and you could have came to see me. And I was like, oh, wow. And I was actually, part of me being upset was that I never, like once we had that conversation, I never brought it back up again. I didn't, I was like, oh, well, that's the way he feels. Because, you know, he was the adult, I was a child, blah, blah, blah. No. I was upset because I was like, I should have made peace with that. We should have put everything out on the table so that we could be done with it and you know, move on from there. But unfortunately, you know, 2 months later, he passed away. That was never resolved. And I was, you know, I was still, that was still my granddaddy.
Right.
And I remember feeling so insulted when my other grandmother was just like, damn, you know, basically he wasn't shit.
Wow, that's some heavy stuff right there.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Some heavy
yeah.
stuff right there.
You know, she's old school. She's older, so you know, there's a way that older people think. You know, she's
exactly.
in her 80s, and so
I have
she said
a brother
straight
like
face.
That.
Yeah,
I have
she
a
wasn't
trying like
nothing
that.
I was saying.
She's my
like,
brother,
I don't get it.
My
well, people will
brother.
Always impose their feelings on how you should feel.
Yeah, why? You can't tell me how to feel. My oldest brother has a problem because one of my grandsons is named after the only grandfather all of us ever knew. He insists on saying that that's his step-grandfather. So the last time he said it, I jumped in his world. What do you mean step? Did you know the first one? You know what I mean? So let's go one step. I said, did you forget that we were never permitted to say stepbrother, stepsister, stepmother? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We were never permitted to say that. If you're my brother, we got the same mother or the same father. You're still my brother. So don't come
That's
at
right.
me with the step stuff. But the other
That's
part
right.
to that, and I agree with the caller, you know, everybody is entitled to grieve the way they want to grieve, the way they need to grieve. There are no restrictions on grief. And if you come and want to put restrictions on my grief, then I have a problem. Because in the instance of an ex, okay, that was a chapter of that person's life. If you really cared for that person and you're the current, then allow that ex to grieve. Only because you don't know the relationship that they had. You only know what you've heard. You didn't walk that walk with them.
Mm-hmm.
True.
They have the right. They have the right to grieve their own in their own way. I'm sorry. In
people,
my case, I guess it was just like, okay, well, he's gone now, but I'm doing what I'm going to do to support my children.
Right.
Okay? And that's where my whole thing was. You know, I didn't hate him. I didn't dislike him. But our chapter was over. And I had moved on, just like he did.
Yeah. It's a tough situation. And at times like this, people are saying all kinds of things. And I want to say that they're saying things that they don't mean, but they may mean them at the time. It's a sensitive time. It really is. And unfortunately, at times like this, we have to deal with people taking ownership of people who have passed. So this is my dad. You know, this is my dad. This is my mom. It was my aunt. It was my sister. It was my brother. It was my friend. You know, y'all wasn't there. You know, you never did nothing. You didn't stamp your seal on this person. You can't lay claim. You know, it's I get it, but I can't accept it because it's just not going to work. It's not doing anybody any good. Yeah. You say you don't get it?
No, I don't. And the people, like I said earlier, this is not a pocketbook. I'm not driving your car that you let me borrow and then put gas in it. This is a whole damn person. it doesn't.
Yeah. I do know.
Just for transparency, when I was 19, I made the mistake of treating somebody like that when my dad passed. At my dad's funeral, my mother and my father met at like 10, and they were each other's first loves. My mother was a hot-headed teenager. She wasn't always very nice. At his funeral, when I saw her cry, I said, "What are you crying for?" And it was in my grief. I was a daddy's girl. And his only daughter. I apologized to my mother. What a shitty thing to say. I regretted it. It's one of those things where you say it and then shit comes out of your mouth. You're like, what the fuck? What are you doing? What are you doing? My mother just lost her first love.
Right.
You know?
I do.
That was her first love. Who the hell are you? You know, but I was caught up. I was caught up in a moment. I went all the way back to when I was 5 years old, and I heard a very, you know, important conversation, an important argument between the two of them. So I went back to that moment. You know, again, I was 19. And my father was very young when he passed away. He was only 38. And in my grief, I made that comment. So I've made the mistake. So I don't have tolerance. Especially when someone is older than, like past a certain age, where you've had enough life experience to learn, to have grown into someone who knows better.
Yeah.
And I have grown into someone who knows better and who does better. It's not just in word, but in deed.
Yeah, it's,
and we have to do better in honoring those that we love.
Yeah, it really, really is hard. It really, really is, and this is a situation, like I said, that we're all going to have to deal with someday. And I hope and pray for all y'all that y'all have to deal with it later rather than sooner, because it's tough. But no matter what, all you have to do is keep living, and it's gonna come to visit everybody. Listen, I want to thank all y'all for coming through today. I really did. I consider this, you know, I y'all know I do these kind of shows every now and then, and I didn't want to bombard y'all with it, but I needed the show. And I know that there are other people out there that needed the show. And this is something that we can talk about, and we will talk about, and we have talked about. So I just want to thank everybody for your input, your insight, and for your words of inspiration and encouragement. You never know who's out there needing something that you are providing. Sometimes people are too shy or ashamed or too proud to ask for what they need. So sometimes you just have to put it out there and hope that, you know how if you try to be nice to or feed an animal that does not trust human beings, they ain't going to come to you. All of the kissing at them and whistling at them and yeah, I know you respond to all of that shit. I know, but I'm not talking to you right now. But yeah, all of none of that is going to work if that animal does not trust yet. So sometimes what you have to do is just take the food, leave the food in a place where they can get it and get out of the way. And trust me, they're watching, they're paying attention, and they'll go and get the food. And when you do it a few more times, then you won't have to just leave it for them. They know, they see what's going on. They know what's up. And sometimes,
you know, that's sort of like getting out of your own way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's sort of like getting out of your own way. You know.
Yeah. Sometimes people are in the position to ask you for what you want. So sometimes ask you for what they want or what they need. So sometimes you just have to see the need in them or the want and provide if and when you can provide, and just get out of your own way, get out of their way. Just do what was necessary in order to improve the situation. Once again, thank y'all. Thank y'all so much for coming through and hollering at me and hollering at us and getting us through this trying time and this very, very sensitive topic. So we're going to get on up out of here. We're going to do these birthday shout outs, and then we got the good to go. But once again, thank y'all for coming through, yo. All right, we have some birthday shout outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious July 17th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special, because they are special, because they are special, because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box. Shakita Boswell turning 43 years old today, and Alice O'Neill turning 75 years old today, and she's raising money for Equal Justice Initiative, the Equal Justice Initiative. Pretty cool. And also Lasagna Kiki Ukachi turning 38 years old today, and Lamil Jones, happy birthday to you. And Gadebo Gabolahan Soyemi. Do you think he's African? Do you think? Happy birthday to you. And last but not least, Alexis Austin turning 34 years old today. I want to say happy birthday to all of you and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious. July 17th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. I rock out, rock on, do the damn, the rock out, rock on it, do the damn, rock out, rock on it, do the damn thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, first of all, it's okay to mourn. You've laid down with a person, hugged, kissed with a person, been there with a person, shared stories with a person, related family stories with a person, gone out with a person, felt with a person that's felt. That person is a part of you forever. So when they leave this physical form and they transition into the spiritual world, for you not to feel any kind of way about that is almost ridiculous. And I'm going to say almost because sometimes there are circumstances where it may not be. But try not to let anybody control the way that you mourn. If the way that you mourn is in a healthy way and you're trying to get through it. You're trying to get to it and trying to get through it. And I understand. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. Love y'all back to life. I want y'all to have a great day. It is a great Saturday. It's nice and sunny on these parts, Philadelphia, PA, on the East Coast. Wherever you are and whatever you do, you make sure that you follow through and keep it true. We will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. I know we wasn't here until like 11:32 today, but I mean, listen. I'm mourning right now. I'm grieving right now. You know what I mean? Get off my back. So, with that being said, y'all have a wonderful, extremely wonderful day. And I will get back with y'all tomorrow. And I say comfort and I say peace. Comfort and peace. Okay. So, Blog Talk, I'm going to get you on up out of here. I say goodbye. I say peace, my dear word. And